You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It's Wednesday, December 15th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Welcome to the Pisscast.
Welcome.
Very cold morning in Calgary here.
Oh, yeah.
Today on the show, I'm going to tell you the backstory of Costco. I didn't know this. As a big Costco fan, I didn't know this.
Nope.
Sean has been watching this show that was throwing a bit of... It's a show from Toronto that's been throwing a bit of shade at Calgary here. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Jesus. Some radio stations that we would like to see adopt these names. We'll do a bit of singing, but first...
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was looking up clothing stores in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. That's where my boyfriend lives.
That's God's country.
Yeah, I was looking up for some gifts for him and stuff. And the first search result that popped up when I Googled clothing in Prince Albert was Canadian Tire.
The pinnacle of fashion, hey?
Oh, that's my God. You know, I'd never really considered a Canadian Tire clothing store.
No, I didn't either. I mean, they do have...
They've
some
got
clothing.
Rain yeah. jackets. You know, they've got some camo gear.
Yeah.
The odd pair of gloves. You know, those colorful hemp sweaters. Every time I walk into the one down the street here by my place, they've got those, you know, those gray hemp sweaters, the Jesus Camp sweaters.
Yeah, I call them music festival sweaters.
Yeah, I call them Jesus Camp because everybody I know who went to Jesus Camp wore those as well. They've got those too. So I guess, I mean, they've got...
Were they making them at Jesus Camp or something?
They all would come back wearing them. I don't know. And then they'd be carrying around the Bible. They might have made them at Jesus Camp. That might have been
a
thing.
There was probably like a cool youth pastor that wore them.
Maybe.
And then they're like, oh, I want to be like that.
He was actually part of a pyramid scheme and he was selling them on the side while pastoring there. I would, by the way, buy my hemp sweater.
They also sell flannel jackets.
Right.
The plaid flannel at the Canadian Tire by my house.
Yeah, so got some hockey equipment, some hockey pants.
If you count that, I guess.
It just kills me because I was thinking about it and I was like, that's actually what people in PA wear most, though. Like, this would be... It's not fashionable. It's just practical stuff because they're all outdoorsy.
That's right.
So really, that's probably where they would go
friggin' cold there.
That's where they go shopping for their clothing. It's like, I need some extra camo gear. Yeah, let's go to Canadian Tire. Camo gear and hockey pants. That's the fashion out there.
Wearing hockey pants just like in your day-to-day life. That's so funny.
Oh, extra batting when you fall on the ice. It's freezing there. If salt doesn't work,
mosquito
you need
net
the protection.
Hats. What a look, hey? What a look.
You're always
Long
ready
John's
for beer league hockey.
Hockey pants. Jesus Camp sweater and a mosquito net hat. What is wrong with you?
Oh, man.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
You and I were talking about sea shanties recently.
Yeah, we were.
And I think everyone knows what a sea shanty is now. It's like a song they sung on fishing boats. It's a maritime work song, essentially.
Yeah.
And they had a bit of a resurgence online last year. I'm reading the first Dune book right now, and there was... it's set on a desert planet, and there is one offhand mention of a sand shanty. Because there's no seas on this planet.
Amazing.
So their work songs are about sand. So we have sea shanties, we have sand shanties. I was like, well, in this neck of the woods, we have neither seas nor sand.
Nope.
We have snow. So why couldn't we have snow shanties?
Of course.
See some snow shanties.
Yeah.
Oh, the snow was deep and my lips were dry. Leave her, Terry, leave her. Tomorrow's colder than today and it's time for us to leave her. Leave her, Terry, leave her. Oh, leave her, Terry, leave her.
They're winter songs for winter people, Shauna.
It makes perfect sense.
What will we do with a broken scraper? What will we do with a broken scraper? What will we do with a broken scraper early in the morning?
Wistful songs about the Canadian winter.
Of course.
God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the slopes in Canadian cold. We'd fire snow guns, shed no gear. Now I'm a broken man with an après beer, the last of Barrett's Mountaineers.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was reading this post from a radio friend of mine talking about her time at her radio station in Kelowna that she works at called The Lizard. But when I first read the post, I thought it said The Gizzard. And then I was killing myself thinking about radio stations that name themselves after really undesirable things, you know, rather
than Gizzard.
The Gizzard.
Named after a bird's stomach.
Right? Like some.
The Lizard's a pretty good name for a radio station.
The
I
Lizard's
don't hate
pretty
it.
Funny. I know. And like right now, there are a ton of radio stations named after animals like, you know, the bear or the moose or the wolf.
I worked at the goat.
Yes. Which are some decently cool animals, right? Like they sound good. But I was like, what if these stations were named after some lesser popular animals, perhaps, you know, like 929 the llama, you know, something like that. Or
I'd listen.
929 the dust mite.
The rat.
The rat. 929 the rat. 929 the blobfish.
Hey, rats.
You're our mice friends.
Hey, rats, give us a call.
Oh, my God. Welcome to 929 the sea cucumber. They're like, what? We're just trying to shed some light on sea cucumbers as well, okay?
Even just the fish is pretty funny.
I know.
92.9 the fish.
Wake up to the tapeworm. 92.9. That wouldn't work so well. No.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So McKenna and I finished watching the show Black Sails last night.
Yeah, you've been pumping the tires of the show pretty hard.
Oh, my God.
Is it that good?
It's so underrated. Like, okay. The only reason that everyone isn't talking about Black Sails is because it wasn't on Netflix.
Mm.
Because it was season one is on Amazon Prime and it was on Stars after that. So it's because it was relegated to a smaller network.
Okay.
No one's talking about it. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
I'll have to watch it.
And it's really cool because one of the lead actresses is from Calgary. She went to Western Canada High School down there. So
crazy.
Really cool. Anyway, there's a brief appearance from a character in this show who has a skullet. And it got me thinking that so the show's about pirates.
Right.
In the 1700s.
Oh, there'd be some great pirate skullets.
Yes, because I think probably a lot of those guys probably wore their hair long because you're out at sea. You're basically an outlaw.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to cut your hair for society or anything like that. And baldness is nothing new. So
wow,
I would imagine many pirates had skullets.
There'd be a lot of real interesting hairstyles back then. Like before we had the means to really cut and coif our hair in a certain way, you'd have some weird stuff going on there.
And I mean, everyone from upper society was wearing those weird white wigs.
Yep, and that's probably to disguise their skullets.
I'm sure in some instances there were skullets lurking under those things.
Yeah.
Like you just lift it up, what's under here? Oh,
it's a skullet hat.
It's a skull banger.
It's a costume for skullets is what that was. Oh, I never thought of that before.
But I mean, really, any time throughout history when short haircuts were less common, there were probably skullets everywhere.
Yeah.
Not just in the golden age of piracy, like in this show.
You're right.
Go back to biblical times. All of those people in the Bible were depicted as having long hair.
Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't cut it as often.
No. They probably filled in the skullets just to help people out too.
Do you see where I'm going with this, Shauna? It's totally possible that Jesus had a skullet.
How do we find this out?
Well, there's just no way. But
because, no one would, you would depict him with a little bit more hair on the top if he was balding a little
bit. And he always, first of all, he's always depicted as a white guy, which is inaccurate. But he's always has really nice, long, brown hair.
It's like as he aged,
nice beard,
think
but
that
it's totally possible. I mean, he died when he was 33.
Right.
I'm 32. I'm starting to show the beginnings of a skullet.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, unless
it's possible.
He used his miracle work to be able to, you know, reproduce the hair on top of his head as well.
Would you do that?
Probably not.
It's all about helping other people.
Way more important things to miracle lies than your own skullet, I suppose. But sometimes you got to do some things for yourself too, okay?
Going forward, anytime I picture Jesus,
oh my God,
he's going to have a skullet. One of the you have to call it one of the greatest skullets of all time.
Skullbanger
probably.
Jesus, eh?
Wow.
Wow. That would be the skullet, pinnacle of skullets right there.
That would be the skullet, wouldn't it?
It would be.
You think that maybe someone would have mentioned it in the Gospels, though, or something.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Like
he probably
miracles,
took it out of there, though, again.
Son of God, also. wicked skull banger on him.
Or, you know, used his powers to fix it up up there.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I posted on my Instagram story last night that, and McKenna agreed with me, we both thought that Black Sails would land in our list of top 10 shows of all time. Like, it was that good.
Wow. I'm going to have to watch it.
So I posted her list and my list, and I said, whose list do you think is better? And then this morning, we got our friends Ryder and Lisa host the morning show up at Play 107 in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And I got a text from Ryder saying, hey, can we talk to you in a few minutes? So they called us up, and this was why.
This is specifically for Beckler. I have noticed that you have not checked your direct messages on Instagram yet, so I wanted to talk to you before you open what I wrote you.
Okay, well, now I'm opening my phone.
I'm sorry for what I said before I had my morning coffee.
What did you say to me?
Oh, no.
I was very judgmental about you and your wife's lists of your favorite shows. And I just would like to say that I'm a different person now after a coffee, and I totally respect that you might have a different taste when it comes to shows, and I'm very sorry for being so rude.
5:14 a.m., Lisa Evans. Both are bad because they don't have Schitt's Creek or Mindy Project. Grow up. No Breaking Bad, Succession, starting my day off on the wrong foot. That's a heavy burden to put on someone.
That's a harsh text.
She is a TV elitist. I have to watch Yellowstone when she's not around, or else she'll stand there and just chirp it the entire time. She thinks her opinion on TV is the be-all, end-all, and she's tough to be around. So.
Sorry, I'm very sorry.
Lisa, don't you like Selling Sunset?
I'm a big fan of Selling Sunset. I am aware that it is scripted, but I still live for the drama.
Okay. I mean, this is kind of a glass houses situation, isn't it?
Sorry.
Anyway, I do deeply regret it. I look back, and I wish I knew how to delete messages before people could open them, but I don't know if that's a thing on Instagram.
I'm glad you explained it, because had I opened that at 5:14 this morning, I would have been like, what's in her ass? Like,
yeah. Dude, she came in, and she's like, I just wrote Beckler about his terrible TV choices, him and his wife. I was like, what'd you say? And she read it to me, and I was like, that's really unnecessary.
What happened to Lisa this morning? Jeez, who pissed in the cornflakes?
And I like how if I don't watch The Mindy Project, I'm the one who doesn't know what's up. What?
Yeah.
It's a very clever show.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it as the queen of TV.
Yeah, that and Selling Sunset, Beckler, get on it.
Have a great day, guys.
God bless.
You too, bye.
Love you guys.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments, too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I'm watching the show Working Moms right now. I don't know if you've seen this on
I think McKenna tried to watch it, but didn't really get into it.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because it takes place in Toronto, and it actually acknowledges being in Toronto rather than faking being New York or something, and then you see Toronto background. So there's a lot of references, and I'm from there, so it's kind of cool for that. But anyway, an episode just came up where one of the moms is moving to Calgary with her husband, who got a job out here. So it turns out they actually wind up living in Cochrane for a few episodes. And, well, first of all, as they drive up, the sign for Cochrane has graffiti on it that changed the name to, I don't even know if I can say it.
Go for it.
Cock Ring instead of Ran. Okay, it's changed to Ring. So that's the first thing when you notice, okay?
Don't give anybody any ideas.
Then, okay, they live in this house that has a bunch of dead animals hanging on the wall and a gun displayed on the wall as well.
Okay.
And then there's a kid in the neighborhood who doesn't believe in science, specifically denying climate change. So,
all right.
Really playing to all the stereotypes here. You know what I mean? Like, just throwing the ball in there.
Very highly about Cochrane, hey?
Yeah, for sure. But it got me thinking. I was like, if we were to base a show here and have one of the characters being forced to move to Toronto for work, how would you portray it? Like, let's go the other way. Let's turn this around. I've got some ideas as somebody who used to live there, okay?
Yeah, I haven't been to Toronto since I was little, so you're going to have to...
Okay, so first off, the work accommodation would obviously be a condo the size of a shoebox.
Right.
Needless
You'd
to
go
say.
From your big 5-bedroom house in
Absolutely.
Cochrane
yep.
to a one bedroom in Toronto for the same price.
375 square feet. Yeah, studio probably for you and your four family members. You can't actually sleep because there's lots of sirens and people yelling at each other all night long off the streets, of course. When you first walk in, there would be a ridiculously oversized photo of Drake in the living room with a shrine around it, of course. Right?
We pray to Drake here.
We pray to Drake. Yes, just a full-out shrine. You know, yes, that's what your religion is. It's where you attend church. And when the characters try to talk to anybody, they all say, "What? What?" Because, well, you're from Toronto, and nobody cares what anybody outside of Toronto thinks. Mm, so
okay.
I
see that.
You. So that's what I would paint the picture as, okay?
When a friend of ours, when he lived in Toronto, he said there was a guy outside their building who would... be pooping on the sidewalk almost every day.
Yeah.
And they just knew that if, like, when you were leaving the building...
Was that me who told you that? Because we had a guy outside of our workplace in Toronto, too. Hilarious.
No, it's happening in more than one place.
We called him Crapshoe.
Nope.
Because he was...
Nope.
Yeah.
So...
Squatting on his own shoes. Yeah, so that was a normal thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah.
Given the choice, I think I'd rather live in Cochrane. Between what we've described here.
I would say, I just was like, if you're going to go the one way with the stereotypes, we can go back the other way too, okay?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Earlier this week, you were talking about how Costco stocks their shelves.
Yeah.
They have two different, what they consider to be categories of things. Was it triggers and treasures?
Yes. And triggers are the things where there's only like one of them. So it's really just one option. It's easy for you to grab and go, like mustard and stuff.
Right.
Kind of just have one standard option. And then treasures are those ones where... they're fleeting, you know, and you get this huge discount on something, but you won't find it next time you're there.
Right. Things that get you excited, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, look at this. This is a good deal.
Oh, this is steel.
Well, that got me reading a bit more about the company, because I'm a huge Costco fan, as you know, but I don't know a lot about their history or anything. And I thought, well, Triggers and Treasure, I'd never heard that before. There must be so much about Costco, I don't know.
Yeah.
So their story as a company is pretty fascinating. It started in the 50s, and there was this guy in San Diego named Saul Price, and he inherited an empty airplane hangar. And he's like, well, what do I do with this? So he got contracts for three things to start: jewelry, furniture, and liquor. And he filled up this warehouse with those things.
Wow.
And then he sold memberships for $2 per family to government employees only. And they were the ones who were allowed to come in and shop.
Hmm.
And then he grew that business. He was eventually forced out, and he started, that was called FedMart. And then he started a different business called Price Club, which was similar. And one of his employees at FedMart was, he started out as a bagger, climbed up the ranks, and then branched off and started Costco. And that guy, Jim Sinegal is his name, just stepped down as the CEO of Costco just a few years ago. And he's a billionaire now.
Oh,
he started off as a bagger.
That's insane.
As a bag boy, and now he's a billionaire.
Crazy.
But this article I was reading, they pointed to six reasons why Costco has been so successful. And if you want, I can send you this article if you text me, but I'll just give you the Kohl's notes of it. They said if Costco's cost for an item goes down, rather than pocket the profits, they will bring the price down too. So
awesome.
That's one thing that customers have liked. Obviously, they charge for the membership, so that brings in a lot of money for them. I think you mentioned this one the other day, but they have less than 4,000 SKUs in the store.
Yes.
Whereas most grocery stores will sell 50,000 items, right?
Yep.
And they said, the more items you have, the more people have to handle it and the more that costs. So with Costco, truck pulls in, forklift grabs the pallet and puts it right on the floor. That's it. There's no stocking shelves. There's no like bats that they can save costs like that. They said if they like a product, they will work with the manufacturer of that product to make it cost less, like to the point that they will come out and help you redesign your entire operation.
Wow.
To get the cost down. I thought that was cool. They said they pay their employees very well compared to the average retailer, especially in the United States, and most of them have benefits. And the last reason they pointed to was that they have resisted pressure from their shareholders to cut corners in order to increase their profits. So the shareholders would like to see them pocket that extra money,
but
make more money, but they don't.
Well, there's a lot of companies that could probably learn from all that, isn't there?
Yeah, and they said basically they could make more money in the short term, but their goal was always to be the kind of company that would be around for a while. And it's been enormously successful for them.
Kidding.
But it's such a unique business model.
Yeah.
And they said they kind of do everything wrong. Like the stores are ugly and, you know, and they've just had so much success with it that I find them to be
dads love them.
Oh, my goodness. You could hear the passion in my voice.
You put that on the Christmas gift for any dad. It's just a story of Costco. Make that happen.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Some of the distanced Santa options that I've seen out there are pretty funny.
Are some of them not real good?
Oh, my God. Okay.
I mentioned the one at the core,
yes,
which I think they did a pretty good job of.
What was that one again?
He's in the back of a truck.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. So, and of course, this is what they're doing because you don't want your kids getting close to Santa. It's COVID times. My sister, though, went to see Santa recently. Santa was as far away as he possibly could be while still being in the same frame. Like, he was so far apart from... It looked so awkward. It's like, how do you even tell Santa what you want for Christmas at that point? The kids have to essentially yell, like I want a pony!
Oh, there he is.
What? A pony!
Moni?
Like, honestly, it was... I looked at it, I was like, oh, this. We're going to look back at these, and I think at one point you're going to laugh pretty hard. Like, did he have to be that far away?
He's just tiny in the very back.
Seriously.
It's like a Where's Waldo, but with Santa.
Oh, there he is. Oh, I see him there. Yeah. In another one, I saw Santa's in this giant snow globe, and then the kids were outside of it. It looks like Santa's quarantining, okay? It looks like he's, like, stuck in a bubble. He looks like the bubble boy.
He's been trapped in there by an ice queen. And he's
seriously.
Help, Santa, please.
The elves have turned on him and please let me out of here. Please, God.
I'm a prisoner.
Oh, my God. That's another one that I was killing myself about.
Even some of the ones with, like, where people are fully masked in the photos. I'm like,
yeah.
Santa photos aren't cheap.
Yeah.
And I would have just skipped the year if I had to wear a mask.
To be honest, I guess maybe the Santa in a bubble, trapped in a bubble, is better than him being masked. Maybe that's so.
And we talked about how it is important to not have Santa would be exposed to a lot of people.
It's
and he's
true.
Old and he's overweight.
Yeah.
He'd be very high risk.
It's true. And the other option, though, Santa was up in a tree. And the kids were below him. And it essentially looks like Santa crashed his sleigh into this tree. Like,
he's stuck up there. You got to call the fire department.
Something happened. And Santa's sleigh it wasn't working well.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Friend of the show, Carrie, had a What Are You Grateful For yesterday that I saw. And
awesome.
It's a simple one, and I totally agree. She said, it's cold and snowy this morning, but that's how it's supposed to be this time of year. Today, I'm grateful for a warm house, cozy pajamas, and coffee. Lots and lots of coffee.
Yeah, that's a great one. And
simple.
Every time it gets cold like this, I think we all think of that.
Like, oh, my God.
When I got out of my truck this morning, I was like, man, I hope everyone in the city had somewhere warm to sleep last night because
honestly,
it was cold.
Like, it's, again, so simple, but the fact that you can walk into a warm house.
Yeah, have a hot shower, put on warm clothes,
yep.
Like,
turn on the fireplace, maybe, whether you have a gas one or a real one. Like, just all of that stuff is a luxury. Holy.
It really is.
People used to live here when we didn't have those things. Like, can you imagine that? Minus 25 and people are outside living.
They were tough as nails.
Holy bananas. I wanted to add to that my own a little. I'd like
Please.
To give a very quick shout out. And I'm adding on top of Carrie's. What are you grateful for here? But to the person who created the warm glowing Christmas lights as well. You know, the warm white.
Yeah.
So that warm white Christmas light, if you see that anywhere, there's something about that that's just so homey and so cozy. And
I agree. That's a very simple pleasure around this time of year, isn't it?
It totally is.
We have some up in our living room, not on the Christmas tree, just kind of around furniture or whatever. And McKenna's like, can we leave these up year-round or are they too Christmassy? And I was like, oh, you might as well. It's cold and dark
thing.
Here.
I know.
It makes you feel good. Leave them up.
And it's that warm white. Like, there was the bright white, but then there's the warm white, right? It's almost like toasted almond. And you're like, oh, this just makes everything look so pretty and so warm.
Yeah, it's awesome. It really can change the feel of a room.
It can.
Like you said, having a warm place to go.
Yep.
With some warm white Christmas
so
lights.
So grateful for that.
Yep.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
A Calgary Heritage Moment.
Do you remember learning to ski as part of the school curriculum? It may have been a once-a-year activity for most, but for those lucky enough to go to school in Calgary, there was an important part of the curriculum called Lifetime Activities, which would involve outdoor activities such as snowshoeing and cross-country and downhill skiing.
In the 80s, the downhill ski program was hosted at Paskapoo Ski Hill. We now know this as Canada Olympic Park, but in the 50s, it was named after the Paskapoo slopes it resides on.
This was a local ski hill developed by members of the University of Alberta ski team, and it expanded to include a go-kart track, a driving range, and used snowmaking machines.
Back then, Paskapoo hosted a school program that involved several learn-to-ski sessions, and according to the archives, it would cost each student $5 for a lift ticket and a lesson. Total cost for the entire multi-week program? $24.
It's a steal. Granted, the skis were often well-used, thin as toothpicks and 50 feet long, but if you could learn on those suckers, you'd be a fairly good skier by the end of it. And skiing was quite a bit cheaper as a whole in those days. In fact, if you lived in Lake Louise in the 50s and 60s, you would get a free season's pass just for living there.
In the 70s, you could catch a bus to the old Fortress Mountain on a Saturday, ski all day, stay overnight, ski Sunday, and return for around $20. Although lift ticket prices have gone up since then, Calgary schools still offer affordable learn-to-ski programs. Although rather than hosting them at the Poo, which was in fact a nickname for Paskapoo Ski Club, they're usually offered at Windsport Canada Olympic Park.
Pre-COVID, that is. But hopefully the program returns in the new year, as it's a great way to get kids hooked on the great outdoors.
This has been a Calgary Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.